And our guest tonight, through Ginger Metro, is Galexis. And Galexis is a consortium of wonderful beings of consciousness that we've spoken to for off and on for years, but it's been a long time. So welcome to the show, Ginger.
Hi. Yes, I'm glad to be here.
I'm really glad you're here, too, and I did not realize you had moved to Florida. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, we've been here over a year. Yeah, we've been here over a year now, and we got the call to leave California because I personally needed green. I need greenery. I need leaves and trees and stuff. And we were in this protracted drought, and everything was brown, and everything was dry, and I missed the rain. There wasn't enough rain, and so on. And I just got restless and felt kind of isolated. Now, I love the California consciousness. I mean, where we've moved, we're in a kind of outside a small city. We're outside of Gainesville, Florida, which is a university town. And so we're kind of in between the city and the farms. We're outside.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah, we're outside the all the subdivisions. You know, we're beyond that, and so we're surrounded. Everybody here has at least 5 acres, and it's both residential and agricultural, and the energies here are very interesting, but the people are not as conscious, you know, in general. The level of consciousness is not there. I mean, we have fabulous food, regenerative farming. I mean, it's amazing how much healthier the environment is here for the physical body and so on.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm surprised about that. Are you and Daniel farming? Are you actually
growing? No, I can't really do any gardening or farming. I have what they call postural hypertension. So I lean down, I pull a weed, then I stand up and I'm dizzy. I just can't do too much. So we've hired a guy to come and pull weeds and do stuff. But most people around here are growing food. And there's a great consciousness around the soil and the food and the microbiome and the biome of the planet. And so from a natural point of view, and a healing and restorative point of view, this place is really got a lot going for it. But it doesn't have...
I did not realize that. I've heard some smatterings of it, but I did not realize that Florida really had, you know, that boost.
Yeah, it has that. But the people, as far as consciousness is concerned, it's very, we're still in the Bible Belt here. And the Bible Belt is pretty restrictive as far as allowing people to expand their consciousness. You know, it just says, no, you can only be conscious this far. And, you know, remember the Garden of Eden, you know, you're not to eat of the tree of knowledge. You know, so it's not good for you to be educated. Come on now. You just have to be simple and follow what the Lord says, you know, and that's kind of imprinted in people's unconscious, and it's not that helpful right now. As the people on the planet are going through all their evolution, you know,
and fighting it. Some of them are fighting it. Some of them aren't. You know, it's very interesting on the evolutionary front, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
I think it's quite remarkable that there's a consciousness in California. So why is it? Because of the droughts, the food stuff, and the toxicity, and the legislations and stuff. People are complaining a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can understand that because California, the underlying consciousness is higher, especially in the urban areas. But also. The corporate reach, you know, of like Big Pharma, the reach of Big Pharma. There's this guy named Dr. Pan who is in the legislature in California, and he's been instrumental in forcing extra vaccines and vaccine mandates and wow. all of that, you know, and bringing in, you know, pharmaceutical, you know, priorities over you know, choice. So it's been really rough in California.
It's
from
been
that
very restrictive. What about vaccines in Florida? Doesn't Florida have some draconian stuff going on?
Oh no! As far as vaccines are concerned, Florida is probably one of the freest states, if not the freest state in the country. In fact, the governor has made a statement just this past week, which, as usual, was failed to pick up by the mainstream media. But he basically said, "We have seen so much damage from these vaccines that we are now recommending," and that is also the head of the health department in Florida. Who is a frontline doctor who is open for you know, healing COVID through more expensive means, you might say, like through ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and all those things, and so they don't recommend the vaccine for especially for men. You know, they don't recommend it for children. They don't recommend it for teenagers, they don't recommend it for pregnant people, because there's been such a huge increase of vaccinated women having miscarriages, stillbirths, and becoming infertile.
Wow. Now, isn't that coinciding with the women's rights and that sort of thing as well?
Well, now, Florida is very draconian when it comes to abortion. You know, it's amazing how the left and the right both can say, "My body, my choice," and then, but they don't allow it for the other side, you know? So, you know, the left says...
I don't know enough of...
Okay,
ahead.
Well, here's what it is. The left says, "My body, my choice." So a woman can get an abortion if she needs to, okay?
Right.
The right says, that's murder. No, that's not allowed. We have to control women, you know. And then on the right, when the vaccine comes along, "My body, my choice." And the left says, "No, you're a danger to the community if you don't get vaccinated. So you must be mandated." And so both sides have their, you know, extreme opinions.
And they're very politically driven, too, I think.
Yeah, it shouldn't, you know, the thing about your health and making choices for your life and for your health should not be politicized. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't
no,
think it should be.
That's a whole other question.
That's a whole other thing. But right now, everything's breaking down. So we're really seeing things, you know, in more clarity. Little pieces are coming to light. And but I don't think overall people are gestalting what's really going on.
I think when you just said, "and everything's breaking down," this is something I'd really like us to get into with Galexis as well.
Okay.
It's hard not to see that's, I mean, you can't count on pretty much any system that has been developed and has made people confident, if you will. Right?
Right, yeah. It's like the trust in what government says and what the, you know, corporations say and so on is come to be very suspect now. And
yeah, even the media, any kind of media.
Anything
stuff,
anything
know,
is to be
where.
Questioned, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
isn't
yet
that interesting?
It is interesting, and it's a good thing, actually. But the people don't know where to go if they're limited in what input they get. If they're only limited with mainstream media, they don't have a clue what other options there are. you know. And if the person is like dedicated right winger, they're going to listen to right wing media, and they're going to say everything in the mainstream is fake news and so on, and won't even hear what's right or true or good there, and so they don't have options. So if this polarization has created a tremendous lead up, I think it's a that the polarization is creating a situation that can only be resolved by negotiation, healing, or war. And so I really don't know how we're going to go about it, but right now it seems that humans are basically geared to fight. Okay, like the left now has been totally convinced that here in the U.S., totally convinced that, you know, Russia is bad and we must support Ukraine and et cetera, et cetera. And even the people who were anti-war pacifists are yeah, war with Russia, yeah, take bombs into Ukraine, yay, let's fight them, let's get them. It's like, really, what? I thought you were anti-war, you know?
I think that's a really interesting comment, because I'm always saying, I thought we were opposed to war. War is not a solution, everybody. War is not a solution. Also, sometimes I get these huge waves of compassion for Russian people who are huddling around under their leadership. I'm going, oh, we have to become, and you know this, and I'm sure Galexis talks about this, but this whole idea of learning respect for life, I keep saying, nurturing is the greatest human value, not only humans, for plants and animals as well.
Well, that's
nurturing.
That's the basic feminine energy, which in the male-dominated culture, which came in with the patriarchy a few thousand years ago. It's
been a while.
Yeah, well, it's been a while, but the goddess religions, which honored and nurtured the earth and recognized and respected all beings on the planet, really held on until pretty much to the Dark Ages. But then it was
in the U.S. and Canada, apparently the Iroquois, they didn't make any decisions until the Iroquois grandmothers acquiesced and agreed with it.
That's right, and I'm unhappy about the fact that they took the basic principles of how the Iroquois worked to create a democracy. You know, they knew, they already knew how to engage everyone and how to make sure that whatever is chosen was fit the people, was for the people, and but they left out the feminine part.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and actually, the feminine is so incredibly powerful.
Well, and it is, and I think that's part of why they leave it out, is because if men want to have this whole macho civilization, they cannot let women of power participate.
And
so,
and that's the truth.
Yeah. So anyway, that's so.
I like talking to men about what it's like to nurture, because some of them are wonderful nurturers.
Some of them are. And it's sad that for the most part, when men are brought up in this man code, that their nurturing side, their balance with the masculine and feminine is lost. You know, and that's part of the problem on a personal level that's going on all over the place, is that people are imbalanced between the inner masculine and feminine, you know. But anyway, why don't we get Galexis in here? And
why don't we do that? Because I've got questions again.
All right.
Got lots of questions.
Okay,
yay.
So let me head on out. Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
All right, we are here. We are Galexis.
Hello,
and
welcome.
Yes, yes. All right, a pleasure to be with you again.
it's been a long time, Galexis, and I'm very, very honored and pleased to connect again, and I know the people at home are, too.
All right.
So thank you.
So where shall we go? You said you had some
Let's
juicy questions.
Let's go to evolution.
All right, yes.
I want to talk about evolution. Everything's breaking apart, as Ginger and I were speaking about, and yet I see, and I'd like you to correct this vision or add to it or whatever, when I see sort of the bubbles of head outlining on a picture, for example, I see so many of them are evolving, and many are not, but they're evolving. They show up to me as having like these bubbles of color and change, and it's like some people are really struggling to meet the demands of an evolutionary impulse within themselves. And I thought, well, Galexis can probably help me understand or help us understand what that's all about and how it works. Oh. And how can we be a part of it, a conscious part?
All right. Well, we'll see if we can condense this enough within the space and time we've got. But the evolution is a huge topic. and
you bet.
And everyone who has been tuned in to spiritual stuff, the New Age stuff, and so on, ever since 2012, where everybody started paying attention to, wow, evolution, new level, oh my gosh, all the people who were there realizing, well, wait a minute, that didn't do it all in 2012, that December, 21st of 2012 or whatever, that didn't shift us into this new reality. What happened, And there were a lot of people disillusioned about that. But the fact was, is that that 2012 was energetically, as in an evolutionary cycle, what in the moon cycle of the month would be the full moon. And we want to explain that. Every month you get the new moon, you have the first quarter, you have the full, and then you have the third quarter, and then you get back to the new moon again. And this cycle, which is followed in the tides of the ocean, in the tides in our in bodies, in the emotions, in the flow, and of individuals, and it's reflected, of course, in women's menstrual cycles and so on. This cycle has a certain sense of meaning. Every month you go through this moon cycle, and the beginning is the new moon. That's when the moon is at its smallest. It's almost disappears. Night times are dark. The moon doesn't seem to be in the sky as much. So you get the new moon, and then there are little every night. You see a little sliver, and more comes, and so on. But the new moon is a time of beginnings, and the first quarter is a time of challenge. And assessment. Then the full moon is a time of fulfillment, or what you might say, not completion of a cycle, but it is a sense it is kind of like a completion of the growing energy. The light grows, and it grows till it comes to its highest level of light. And at that point, you really see and sense and feel the intensity of the whole cycle. Okay, whatever was begun at the new moon has come into its fullness at the full moon. All right, and then the moon, then the light wanes. The moon begins to reduce its size, and it gets darker and sooner, and it gets smaller and smaller until it's a little sliver, and then at some point, finally, it's like in the gibbous moon or a latter part of the moon. It's kind of letting go of the old and just beginning to get a sense or imaginings of what is next. And then to get to the new moon, you begin that next cycle. Now, the 12-year cycles that are going on of consciousness that are part of the evolution, that 2012 actually was a midpoint of the 12-year cycle. In other words, the 12-year cycle was from 2006 to 2018. Okay, And 2012 was a culmination of that particular 12-year cycle, okay? And that 12-year cycle was about birthing and creating and initiating energies of the new world, okay? And so 2012 came to a place of conscious awareness that, yes, we're heading to a new world. We're not going to a world of destruction. On a consciousness level, we're evolving to a new world. And so people got that, you see, and but they were disappointed because it didn't seem like it took them to the other side. And so, like the moon cycle, it faded down to 2018, which started the next 12-year cycle. Now, this 12-year cycle that we are in now, and that 2018 was the beginning of it. It was a dreaming of the individual in evolution, emerging from the darkness. Our light, you know, as individuals emerging from the darkness. And so the new world, yes, the new world is actually here for some people. But not everybody. Mm-hmm. For a few people who were able to really find their own path, their own truth, their own light. But this 12-year cycle is about bringing it up and showing it to the world. Now, the culminating, or the brightest light, the midpoint of this cycle is 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so right now the world is moving in its kind of lopsided, crazy, chaotic way to try and adjust for all these energies to get to that 2024 place where then it should make more. They think it will make more sense. They're aiming for that, and once 2024 is going to be a peak point for individual human evolution and an individual capacity to dream and imagine a greater world for everyone. Okay, so you because you
can ask you one question.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When the 2012, for example, was that not okay? People didn't realize that they had essentially at some level kind of catapulted forward because it's so cellular, so deep inside that we haven't had the time to integrate the physical of that. Is that possible?
Okay. We would say
you
that.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we would say as far as the vibrational impact of 2012, and because so many people put their attention on it and looked to 2012 to bring the light, that initiated within themselves a journey to the light. They were anticipating. And you know, if you're going to do reality creation or manifestation of any sort, you have to anticipate what it is you're wanting. You have to imagine it. You have to expect it, you know. And so people were putting that energy of manifestation into 2012. They have integrated it. Some people, like we said, were disappointed because it wasn't the big, you know, the big great experience that they thought the whole world's now going to wake up. And others, they thought, oh, I'm a new person. I'm something more than I was before. I'm on a greater journey than I thought. There's more to
and
this.
And some people are aware of that and some are not.
That's
but
right.
Also, isn't it about nurturing the change rather than expecting it to be blammo, this is what it is?
Well, blammo is a kind of a rough macho way of perceiving it. Let's have it like a slam dunk. Boom, you know. Okay. No, because that assumes it's happening to us, you know?
Yeah.
It assumes that something out there is bigger than we are and is doing it to us. And so damn it, we thought that, as so many people said to themselves, we thought that it was just gonna come in because that was destiny. That was destiny. Yes. So now what people?
But wait, one more question. Mm-hmm. Do we have to be ripe? Are we ripe and ready? Some are ripe and ready. Some are not.
Well, of course, but you know. This is a process that began back in, we would say, in the 60s, you know.
Okay.
It was an opening of an awakening of consciousness that in which the point of power, in which the capacity of personal empowered choice came in to the greatest degree. Whereas prior to that, the subconscious mind ran things. And and it was almost as if you were on automatic all the time. Now, admittedly, there are some people even now who are living on automatic, you know, or they just kind of bumbling through life and dealing with whatever shows up. Okay,
that's right.
But the people who have chosen consciously to step into an evolutionary place. Have gone through several cycles. There was, because if you look at it, there was 1970 was the beginning of a 12-year cycle. And think about what happened in 1970, you kind of get an idea, oh my gosh, you know. And if you look 12 years before that, okay, then you go back to 1958, okay.
Hmm.
And we'd say that if you look at these cycles, you'll see that there is a political shift, an emotional shift, a greater understanding of things, a greater diversity of resources on the mental emotional level coming up. Okay, and so yes, the nurturing part needs to be done on the mental emotional. Okay, you know, it's like people look at Star Wars or even Star Trek as a better example. Star Trek is like, oh, this is in the future, and we're going where no man has gone before, and we're meeting all these other races, and my, our technology is awesome, and so forth and so on. But everybody is still emotionally immature.
Right.
You know,
right.
You still have it's still very adolescent. You still have the snarky, you know, villain, and you have the good guy and so on. But it's like people keep wanting to put it into this good versus evil thing. And the thing is, we're having to evolve beyond that. Beyond the paradox. Yes, good and evil exist side by side, so in the same person even. You know? And we've got to integrate that. And like you said, well, did
That's
we integrate
really
that in
respected.
Our bodies? But, well, maybe we integrated a lot of it in 2012 in our bodies, we're integrating a lot of 2018 in our bodies too. And it's a whole new level of it because there's, to nurture yourself is to care and love yourself and all beings and all life. Okay? So there's just so much that's going on right now because it's coming up. It's emerging, and like you said, it's bubbling up. It's bubbling up. It's like when you're going to boil some water or something, you know, at first you see these little bubbles come up. And they sit on the surface and so on. It takes a while before the full boil is happening, but the bubbles come up first, right? So this is what's going on, is that there's all these bubbles, and these are individuals who are saying, oh, I get it. I'm responsible for my reality. I'm creating my reality. I'm creating it through my thoughts, my anticipations, and I have a choice of what future I want.
And there's a ferment that comes out of that
yes.
you share with some people.
Yes, yes. It's incredibly creative. Okay, and there's a lot of people opening to greater altered states of consciousness now. And you know, if we look all over the planet and we see see it lying beneath us, we can see the little lights come on everywhere, like sparkling lights, just all sorts of lights and more lights and more lights and more lights as people are waking up. And by waking up, this doesn't mean, like the right-wingers say, okay, waking up is we've realized that the mainstream media and the government's lying to us. We're awake. That's a little tiny piece of it, but not really.
No, they're talking woke, which they
call it woke. Sure. Yeah, yeah. We're that wokeness. You know, we're the ones who are awake. Okay, and then the left is looking at the right and say, "Oh, you're just all entrenched in the patriarchy in the past and racist, sexist, you know, paradigms and so on."
Competition, domination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's no good. That's no good. So we're the ones that are awake. All right, but you see, the thing is that as long as a system in which there are powerful people at the top who are manipulating the media, the message, the narrative, the perspective, the vision, etc., and enforcing it in various ways, that. You know, the people are not free. They're not, they can't,
no.
If they wake up, they're going to be threatening, or appear to be threatening to this order, this governmental order.
It's almost like the order is paid for, and that's the way it should be, and it's not true, but it's...
Right, exactly, and that's why politics is really about, you know, who's footing the campaign bill, you know, what gifts is the lobbyist bringing you, that kind of thing. So, yeah, so as long as this money system is in place, the people cannot be heard. It's when you wake up, it's more stressful because now you're more sensitive and more aware of the pain and the suffering and the harm that's being done by this system. And that we're including both political parties. Okay, because political parties are also these hierarchies, okay? And as soon as you have ranking and hierarchies, and the ranking is by money, or the ranking is by power, or the ranking is by influence,
or can be by heritage as well,
or by heritage or whatever, as soon as you have all these rankings, you've got a system that's not working. Okay, now it's like the stock market and the economic system is really kaput. Okay, but it's being held together by the elite, and they have a lot of little sneaky tricks up their sleeve that they can tweak it in this way and tweak it that way, and so it's hobbling along. The economic system is still hobbling along. The rules seem to have changed. They can't figure out what the rules are. They can't figure out anything consistent, so they keep playing by the old rules that doesn't work, so they have to...
I think the rules diminish people's creativity, diminish people's spirit flow, I think.
Well, of course, but the system has had rules for so long that have diminished people, that for people to be able to wake up and realize that this diminishment is not normal, it's not natural, it doesn't come, it's not natural to the person, and it's coming from outside deliberately. When people recognize that, they get really pissed. Okay.
No,
you've got lots of
one
rage
of those right now.
Yeah, you got so much rage going on, and because they realize that all this suffering, all this hurt, all this pain and torment, and this burden that they carry doesn't need to be. You see,
it doesn't need to be.
That's
it's
right.
A pigment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's something that was
so
put.
When
put
we're
on
even. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
And I would like to.
No, go ahead.
I just am saying, if we have this, I know, I feel it, see it, there is evolution moving through many people.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way for enough of us to break out of that big, I see it like a big skin over us or something. Is there enough evolution going on?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, a lot have already broken the quote-unquote skin, whatever. That that skin is what shadows everyone, which keeps everyone in the dark. And that's being broken. It's being broken, though, not by people who take sides. It's being broken by people who are willing to step beyond the paradox of right and wrong, good and bad, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is. They're stepping beyond all that polarization. Okay?
Mm.
Now,
young and old.
That's right. Now, right now, that there's the polarization is really, really extreme, and it's been getting more and more extreme over the past 10, 15 years. In this particular past 6 years or so, it's gotten just intensely worse in the COVID pandemic.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, the pandemic really did it. Then the vaccine controversy has done it, and now there's all the media blackouts of anybody who offers holistic or alternative approaches to treating viruses and so on. And the fight is going on. And the thing is that sometimes you have to have this extreme in order for people to wake up. And because it becomes unbearable to be in this level of intense separation and distortion for a long time. It's like suicides amongst young people. It's like at the highest ever. You know, it's higher than accidents now. Okay,
isn't it terrible?
And
yeah.
It is because. But
I shouldn't say terrible. It's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. But a lot of it has to do. During the pandemic, everybody was separated out. That's destructive to a young person. But we have to say that the toxicity level of these so-called vaccines is also creating a lot of depression. And what we're seeing with that is because the whole system of medicine is basically kill. It's like kill it. Okay,
right.
If there's a virus, kill it. If there's a bacteria, kill it. If there's a symptom, kill it. If there's a pest on your crop, kill it. It's all about killing. It's all about killing that which is an impediment to your profit or to whatever you think you want or to your health or whatever. The whole object of killing. And vaccines are masterful at this because the whole object of traditionally objects of vaccine is to bring in a toxin and to stimulate the body's immune system to identify that toxin and to build up resources against that toxin, so that if that toxin shows up in the environment, the body is prepared. That's the idea, okay? But when you've got this mRNA shot. It's not really a vaccine at all. It's gene therapy, but they call it a vaccine, so they get the emergency authorization for it. This guy, Dr. Malone, was the inventor of the mRNA technology, and he was totally okay with taking his mRNA shot until he had a horrible side effect from it.
And then what happened?
Oh, he went numb or something. He had tingling, and his leg got paralyzed, and he began realizing, oh my gosh, this is hitting my nervous system, and this is not good. And so he basically then changed and said, no, this mRNA thing should not be. It should not be out there. There should be safety studies for it. So he went looking for the safety studies, and there really aren't any. Okay? And all the procedures...
Because of the urgency.
Yeah, well, the urgency enables the pharmaceutical companies to avoid any, number one, no liability in case anybody's injured. Number two, that they don't have to oversee manufacturing and be very particular about it. They can just sloppily put it together. Three is that they can roll it out with mandates and so on. And they can tell people they're marketing. It's safe and effective. And then, you know, then they sit back and get the profits. They've made billions and billions of dollars.
Billions, yeah.
Okay. So the point is that this we're back into that big money, corporate money thing again. But the point is that when Malone got injured, he decided he was going to expose this. And, of course, he's been, like, censured by the whole community, whole medical industry, and so on.
Really?
They're just horrified that one of their own would turn on them, and they've been attacking him viciously. But he's come out with a lot of very important information. So his name is Dr. Robert Malone, and so I'd suggest anybody listening who's really interested to go on Substack, which is the only place where allows people to speak freely about this, about vaccines and stuff. And he has a blog on there, very informative and very helpful to enable a person to, you know, educate themselves about what's going on and so on. But the point we're making overall is that because of this whole, the vaccine thing is like really bringing it to a head, because the WHO, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, and so on, are trying to put through a system whereby that the pharmaceutical companies will be able to say, this is what everybody needs, and the governments of around the world will mandate it. And they'll be,
but they're already doing that to a degree.
They're doing it to a degree, but they want to make it official. They want the governments to all sign a treaty promising to give up their sovereignty as far as medical, you know, procedures are involved. This is a...
Well, Alexis, surely there's something we can do about that.
Yes, there is, and that's what we wanted to get to here. We don't want to leave anybody at this place, because this is pretty dark, okay?
This is
part of... of what has to happen for people to wake up. You know, people have been waking up. There in the U.S., there's it alternates between Republicans in control and Democrats in control, and then Republicans in control, and so on. And there, every time it shifts, more people wake up. You know, it's like the during the Trump administration, there were a lot of people who woke up. Like, what?
Really?
What? Is this guy is president? What? What's going on? He's just ruling by fiat? What? What? And they woke up. And then, of course, after that, we've had, Biden. With Biden doing his shtick, a whole bunch of people on the other side going, what? What? What is he doing? He's just doing whatever the pharmaceutical companies, the big corporate lobbies, whatever they want, he's just going to do it. He says one thing and he does something else. What? And they wake up. Okay. Now, this is not fully evolution. Believe us, this is just a political piece. But it's a key, because if you can wake up politically, maybe you can start stepping back from the extremism. Maybe you can stop getting engaged in extreme right or left, or white hats versus black hats, or wanting to fight and war and blah, 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 blah. Maybe you can step back from that and go, wait a minute, let's look up. Let's look at who up there is saying, hey, let's you and him fight, okay? Let's keep you all fighting, and then we'll just extract from you some money.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stay in our cozy place. You know, it's the famous thing about 2030, the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab says, you know, you won't own anything.
I know. There's a whole bunch about that. Have you heard of Plan 2000? I'll bet you have.
Right? Yeah, yeah. But you know, yeah. 2030 is the next ending and beginning of the 12-year evolution. Okay.
Okay. So let me ask you this question: is it actually organized that way, or is it something that we can participate in and organize differently?
Yeah. Well, the 12-year cycles are built into the world's evolution. Okay, you can use it. It's just like you can use the moon cycles. Very beautiful.
Okay.
Okay. So what's happening is that the peak of this 12-year cycle will be 2024, and there's going to be a lot of fighting. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of chaos and animosity, and people are rising up. And we see people rising up against, you know, the all the globalists or whatever you want to call the elite at the top, the corporatists or whatever. People are starting to rise up. 2023 is going to be really big about that. 2024, there's going to be all sorts of little civil wars, people fighting, people complaining, you know, they don't have anything to lose to go protest. Just look at Iran. They didn't have anything to lose. We're broke. We have nothing. So we're going to go protest. They might kill us, but what else is there we going to do? And this kind of thing, it's the people are rising up, and we can see this, and it becomes like it starts lifting the vibration. You know, what do they say? A rising tide lifts all ships. It's going to be lifting the human condition to where more and more people are going to see what's going on. And see
even in China,
they're seeing it. That the people at the top are basically saying, "We're going to do what we want to do, and we're going to control you. We're going to dominate you, and then we're safe up here, and you're just going to be our slaves or whatever." You know, it's looking up at the top and seeing that the strings are being pulled by people behind the scenes, or maybe some politicians and corporatists and so on. But for people, will start
like
to see
Wizard
that.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
That's right, exactly.
Tell me this, is it genetic, is the evolution of the species coming up through young people in a way that's transformative and more sensitive?
Well, yes, it is, because they chose, every generation has its own thing to do. It has its own mission, right? And and the one who channels us, you, part of the boomer generation, came to create a generation gap.
Okay.
You remember that generation gap? All of a sudden.
Oh, sure do.
Yeah. But it was a wave towards peace and love. Okay.
Yep.
Now, it got shut down in the 80s. In America, in the Ronald Reagan, you know, and the neoliberalism that came in at that time, which made money the all-important thing. And so all the hippies kind
only
of...
for some.
Mm-hmm. Only for some, right? What do you mean? Only for some that money was important?
Yeah, no, the money that was made was to a certain echelon of the society.
Well, yeah, that was when Reagan took off all of these taxes and removed taxes and regulations from big corporations. That's when it started, really, in earnest.
And started off with,
right.
Things
but
like
the thing is, and of course, Trump increased that. He even took off more regulations, reduced their taxes even more, okay, while increasing the basic population's taxes, all right? So it comes to a boiling point. Okay, all these bubbles coming up.
And that's been going on since the 80s, right?
Yeah. It's really, politically, it's been really intense since the 80s. But it's going to reach a boiling point. And we sense that the boiling point is coming around 2024. And it's going to continue dismantling the institutions. Institutions being government, religion, industry, medical industry, oil industry, and and all that kind of thinking that is all within some kind of hierarchical limited structure, this is the way it is and it must be and the money must go up to the top kind of thing. So all of this has to break down, and that breaking down is not a pleasant thing. In fact, even the country may break in two or three or four.
Yeah, I wonder about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's getting close to being that way in various places around the world. It's like, look, with this province in Canada, it's like, no, we want it this way. We want to secede, you know, and so on. So we sense there's going to be a lot of that, okay, through. Mm-hmm. And then around 2030, or 2030 to 32, which is the begin in the early years of the next 12-year cycle, there's going to be the establishment, or the not establishment, you might say, but the creation and engenderment and of what has been envisioned as alternatives. That's when the alternative will come in. Okay, so you can see how much more consciousness expansion is coming, so that the dream of the new can provide what the world needs to replace these broken systems that are falling apart. Okay,
so in the breaking apart, there is a renewal kind of drive energy moving up through people, is there not?
Well, the renewal comes by deliberate choice. You see, most people are just in reaction mode.
Okay.
And if you're in reaction mode, then you don't have the resources to create a new world. Okay.
Right.
You're not able to evolve. You're busy reacting, because when you're in reaction mode, the assumption is that the outside, that world outside, your environment, you know, is more powerful than you.
Right.
And that's the way it appears. Okay, so people think, well, isn't it obvious? But the thing is that the evolution is that your inner power is what's more real, more powerful than you can imagine sometimes. It's really takes
you. And that
you
comes up in knowing. Huh?
Yeah, it comes up in knowing, and it comes up in learning to bring yourself to a higher state of resonance consistently. Okay, and most people in their reaction phase, they're always reacting, then they get focused on all the problems and all the negativity, and they can keep going down, 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 down through the rabbit hole, and they don't rebuild themselves in their light bodies and in their minds and hearts in a beautiful way. And so that's the job. That's the job that that the boomers actually came to do. Is to dream a new world of love and peace. I mean, they got sidetracked.
We really worked hard at it, haven't we?
Yeah, got sidetracked really terribly. But basically, the ones that came to do that are back on track and working on it. But it takes that you have to redream your future within yourself, because if you can do it within yourself, then and take responsibility for the reality of the world, be in love and compassion for yourself, love and compassion for others, be connected as much as you can through this love and so on with the trees and the grass and the people and the concrete even and everything, to be connected in that kind of luminous way, that this will shift your personal reality. And who's to say that there is an objective reality anyway? So, as your personal reality changes, you'll look out there on the world stage and it'll change out there. You'll see it changing out there. People are expecting it to change out there first. You know, you can't do that. You got to change inside first. You got to dream what Charles Eisenstein calls the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. You know?
Yeah, he's wonderful, isn't he?
He is fantastic.
So, So what you're saying also is that, for example, the young people coming in with a, like we were 60s people, but coming in with a, they come in with an innate new dream or something.
Yeah, they do. It's like if you look at the way the millennials think about work and career and money, it just is much harder for them to wrap their heads around the major importance of money that came in the 80s. All right, it's like what's really important is that you're doing something that feels meaningful and useful, and you feel on purpose. That's what's important. You see how important that is to be added to this evolution. So that's what they're bringing. Okay, and they will be also be because the boomers are going to die out, and the millennials are going to. We know that there's a little generation in between there, but the millennials are the ones who are going to kind of bring the world, everybody's feet down into the new world and anchor there. That's their job.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're angry with us too. Will they get over that?
Yeah, but that's the way generations are. They're generally pissed at the previous generations for not giving them all the resources and everything and making their lives easy. But that's when they start taking responsibility on an energetic, vibrational, soul level, then their anger at the previous generation will no longer mean much at all. Instead, they will be able to manifest this their reality, and a reality that's kinder and gentler and more accepting and more tolerant. And that's going to be very good. But we don't expect to see a lot of that until the 2030s.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's a long time down the road. There's a lot of damage can be done.
A lot of damage. Well, there has to be a lot of damage done because you've got to the human idea of evolution is that you've got to destroy stuff first. So here we are in the destructive phase, and everything's got to be dismantled and destroyed and shifted and changed for the new person. And so everyone needs to start thinking about, what do you want in place of the system that's now? Well, how do you see it? What does it feel like? What does it vibrate to? What would you feel if you lived in that beautiful place? What would people be able to do? What would lives be like? Dream it. What system of government would be useful? What system of exchange, of value exchange would work? How to engage and bring everybody into the process of community, of building.
I like the pulse to be a focus on becoming and becoming and becoming. Everyone is a work of becoming.
Yeah, and consciously, the key is conscious.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be conscious.
Yeah.
Okay? And because evolution is all about consciousness. It's not about better circumstances. No, it's about consciousness. And so you have to break down religion so that you can get back to what the real true essence was initially before it was taken over by dominators, okay? Like what was Jesus's original essence? It was love others as I love you. Love as you love yourself. You know,
there's a really interesting thing here, which I think is pertinent, which is self learning to heal ourselves.
Yes,
is coming up, and also I think that means we begin to love ourselves and that innate process of possibility.
Yeah, well, loving yourself is the place to really begin, because if you don't love yourself, then you try to take responsibility for your reality, it's pretty hard job. It's pretty bleak. Loving yourself gets you plugged into the resonance of the healing, to the resonance of the future, to the resonance, to the vibratory resonance, the whole field of where you want to go. You want to go to love. Everybody wants love and safety. Everybody. Okay? And you may, doesn't look like anything is safe right now, but you can go for the love. you know?
And safety often refers to things being stable, but I think love itself as a core is a stable giving, isn't it? It's a stable expansion.
Well, no, actually, love is a flow. There's nothing that is stagnant, nothing that is fixed, okay? We're talking about a flow.
Right.
Love is a heart-centered flow of giving and receiving between one and all. Okay, that's where the mm-hmm. real love. And within yourself, you have different inner parts of yourself. You have your inner child and inner adolescent, and you have your inner stubborn one, and you have your inner insecure self. You've got all these pieces of yourself, and you need to love them all and bring them into one. And as you do that, you get rid of all the inner conflicts that are going on. And you're able to then consciously make the choice to take your power back from all the reality that's out there, all the craziness out there, and realize, okay, I'm going to start here, and I'm going to expand my love outward. Now, when you do that, when you are your fullness of your heart chakra, and you're sending love and compassion out to the world, that's very Buddhic, you know, and you're sending it out to the mm-hmm. world, what happens is that you're protecting yourself. Because that energy dissolves the energy of the pain and suffering and hurt that's out there. Okay.
And all of that.
So you start as a polarization of love and light, right? And sending your light out, sending it out from your center out into the world. Well, of course, once you have it for yourself and you can send it out to the world. What will happen is that you will connect with other individuals, and you will connect through media, or you connect through meditation. There are a lot of ways to connect. There's the Society of Dreamers, we call them, that are creating a tremendous amount of evolutionary growth of themselves and are working together for the planet, and everybody that is working for love and working for a positive future is plugged into this Society of Dreamers. And what you want to do is you want to send the dreams of peace and love, dreams of equality, dreams of happiness out into the world,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the forms that the governance and the institutions and so on and all the different focuses of humankind will take will evolve and emerge out of that resonance.
That's a wonderful lot of recognition. Well, Galexis and Ginger, you have been absolutely ennobling, I suppose is the word, very loving and very, very informative. I feel it's not just optimistic, but you've helped us feel a heart pathway through what looks like a tumultuous change time, doesn't
it? Yes,
it
is. It's going to be pretty intense, but if you're holding that resonance of love within yourself and flowing it out freely into the world, you're going to be okay. Because you have everyone, you and everyone, as you know it consciously, but not everyone knows it consciously. But you have a spiritual team that you work with, that works with you, that supports you, that loves you, a reality that loves you. And as you connect more with your spiritual team, and the more you love, the easier it is for them to manifest good stuff. You know?
And Ginger, can you give, or Galexis, can you give people some something that they can connect with, maybe listen to your blog, or do you have a visual blog?
Well, we have a visual blog, and sometimes it's audio, sometimes it's written, mm-hmm. like this past month, the channel kind of wrote up some of the stuff that we've been talking about in private sessions to share. And so that's at galexisspirit.com, and so you can always go there, and there's several resources there. What we did is that we created a series of seminars, a tremendous amount of material and information that we condensed down to a few seminars that... that are reasonably priced, and that was on purpose, that we wanted people to be able to use these themes in order to handle all these toxic energies. And, you know, it's because it's not just toxins in the environment, physical toxins. There's a lot of toxic emotional energy, toxic mental energy, beliefs, toxic everything. And if a person can detox themselves lovingly and build their new self, build their greater self, then they have a lot Then they are prepared to deal with this crazy, all this chaos and disturbance and destruction and flotsam and of the reality that's all of, as it disintegrates, the old disintegrates. Mm-hmm. Now, we have that series in Living a Magical Life videos, and every one of those is absolutely significant. We have one on the future you, creating a positive future self, one on expanding your self-image. Those two may be the core, but we have quite a few other ones. And then we also have, then the channel wrote up a whole bunch of the information on our website called greaterselfprocess.com. And
great.
And she just wrote articles. That's all it is. It's free. You just go on, read articles, and it gives you the structures of things. It gives you the energies. It gives you the patterns and so on that you can work with. Okay?
That's wonderful. We'll be checking that out. But I am so honored and pleased that you joined us again, and I hope we'll do it again.
Certainly.
Ginger Metro and Galexis, galexisspirit.com. Galexis, you are collecting a lot of information for us and sure helping us digest it, aren't you?
Yes, that's part of what we agreed to do. And we were enjoying it immensely, talking to individuals and seeing how they're waking up and helping them, and then utilizing all this new frequencies coming in, downloads and upgrades and so on, onto individuals and on the planet, and being able to share that. That gives us great joy. And it's such a pleasure
Much
for
strategy.
Us to have talked with you, and we wish you all the very best, and as well as those who are listening, and we surround you with our light and our love. Farewell.
I can sure feel it. Thank you so much. Farewell. Oh, thank you.